This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A key U.S. inflation gauge slowed last month as President Trump's tariffs have yet to noticeably push up prices. The figures showing inflation still isn't declining from its post-pandemic spike, excluding food and energy. Core prices were up 2.5% from a year earlier, down from the March figure of 2.7%. The Trump administration insists that the president's trade agenda will be moving forward, even after a federal trade court's ruling this week that most of the tariffs imposed were the result of presidential overreach. A new reward for information in the manhunt for convicted murderer who's been a former Arkansas police chief and now on the run for nearly a week now.
As people are driving through this area this morning, they're being handed flyers from the FBI showing there's up to $10,000 on the table for information leading to his arrest. Search crews are still scouring wooded areas, abandoned houses, even caves, trying to locate the 56-year-old.
That's ABC's Faith Abube in Arkansas. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Department of Health Services has announced the finalization of a new regulation aimed at protecting kids from lead poisoning. According to a press release, the agency has lowered the threshold for lead poisoning from 5 micrograms per deciliter to 3.5 micrograms per deciliter. The threshold change will allow more families to access educational and health resources to address lead poisoning. DHS officials estimate that about 1,400 more kids will now qualify for environmental intervention services. The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction has established a new committee that will be responsible for reviewing and setting new state report card standards. State Superintendent Dr. Jill Underley has recently faced criticism from some Republican and Democratic lawmakers over the post-pandemic testing standards, which they feel are too low. The committee will include over 24 members from education backgrounds and will begin meeting next month. The identities of the members chosen for the committee have not yet been released. 3 Northeast Wisconsin students have placed in the top 0.5% of students in the country. Lisa Hale has more.
1 Oshkosh West High School junior did what less than 0.25% of American students can do each year. He achieved a perfect score of 36 on his ACTs. Roman Stonick credits his hours of studying and participation in the math team with his success. 2 of his classmates, Aria Bowler and Samuel Kirshner, each earned an impressive score of 35. All are outstanding academic achievements and place the students from Oshkosh among the top students nationwide.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Some big plays at the Packers practice. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Green Bay, where the Packers are wrapping up a week of OTA practices. A 60-yard bomb for a touchdown from Jordan Love to wide receiver Dontavian Wicks. Offensive coach Jason Vrabel on how Wicks has improved.
I think he's matured so much. You know, he's always been a hard worker. He's always practiced really, really hard. But it's just, I think mentally, he was just, you know, kind of some days going like this, you know, and you could feel it was almost like the whole world's weighing on him. I just said, man, like, just let your work take care of itself.
Baseball, the Brewers opening a 3-game weekend series tonight in Philadelphia. In golf, round 2 of the U.S. Women's Open at Erin Hills, just outside of Hartford, Wisconsin. Yolimi Noh from the U.S. atop the leaderboard after chipping in for an eagle on the par 5 at 14.
Well, U.S. Opens are always very grand, and coming to Erin Hills definitely lived up to the expectations. It's an incredible golf course.
That's golfer Yolimi Noh. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly sunny skies today. You might notice a hint of smoke in the air today. High temperatures in the upper 70s. Just an outside chance of a shower or a thunderstorm late in the afternoon. For tonight, partly cloudy skies. Lows in the mid-50s. Current temperature is 54.
Plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft. But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the global cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
This week on the Rational Revolution, we've got Devin Remiker. He's running for chairman of the Wisconsin Democratic Party.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker. Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Callie Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. All kinds of things going on. It is Free Ticket Friday. Among many other things. And we have up for grabs a 4-pack of tickets to see the Milwaukee Brewers host San Diego on Saturday, June 7th, sometime in the next 15 minutes.
Get that app on your phone, open it up, get ready to text, because when that word comes through, friends, you can only participate in this text to win contest through the Civic Media app.
Yep.
It's easy. It's free. It's fun.
It is fun. There's really great features on our app. So if you don't have it yet, download the Civic Media app wherever you get your apps. Just look for Civic Media, C-I-V-I-C. Download that. And then when we give you the word in about 10 minutes, you'll be able to text it in via the app and be in the running for that 4-pack of tickets for Saturday, June 7th, as the crew hosts San Diego, part of our statewide Free Ticket Friday Text to Win contest. That is coming up in just a little bit. Mark Pocan will be joining us after the 9:30 news.
So excited. I love it when he's on this show.
Me too.
Yeah.
Not that there's anything going on in Washington that's worthy of talking about.
Well, we're going to kick back. We're going to talk about what we did over Memorial Day.
Hobbies.
Our favorite summer cocktails.
Yes.
I love a fine mimosa in the morning.
Who doesn't?
I'm sure he has his thoughts.
Yeah. Mark Pocan will be joining us after the 9:30 news. In hour number two, Dan Schaefer will be here, Civic Media's political editor and also the founder of the multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area, to kick around all things Wisconsin Senior Senator Ron Johnson.
He has concerns because I'm concerned about Ron Johnson.
He stopped at the Milwaukee Press Club earlier this week, as well as the Medical College of Wisconsin. We talked about that a little bit yesterday.
God, Lord.
Dan Schaefer was there at the press club when Ron Johnson was speaking, so we will talk to Dan about that. Also, potential changes for 794. If you are in the Milwaukee area, you know what that's about.
I am going to ask him to give a brief overview of the entire thing, because I heard last year people like 794. I'm like, yeah, totally 794.
See, and now I use it every day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I use it every single day.
All the time.
But there are some people who would like to see it go away. So we will talk to Dan Schaefer about that. Last half hour of the show is what we call audio sorbet, where we like to take a little break, take a little breath, get away from the news. So we're going to talk about the Spelling Bee winner. The Scripps Spelling Bee winner was named last night. And we have a clip from the winner, which is pretty fantastic. Mm-hmm. 14 years old.
Yeah. No, 13.
Oh, was he 13?
He's 13.
And then we're going to talk about, just because it's a nice, happy thing, place to find a little joy.
Yes.
So we would like to know, after 10:30, where you're finding your little bit of joy these days.
Mm-hmm.
And.
Ooh, and.
You can do it right now.
Right now.
Right now, if you have the Civic Media app.
That's right. If you get out your phone or your device and you pull up the Civic Media app, it's free. And you go to the station that you're listening to right now, because you can customize it and pick a favorite station. There's going to be a button in the center at the bottom that says voice text.
Yes.
Or voice note, I believe.
Voice note.
And you press that. Leave us a message. Tell us where you're finding your joy today. But remember, it's got to be in context of what we're talking about, so it's about finding your joy. It's also got to be FCC compliant, so please don't cuss. And then also tell us your name. Just give you leave your first name, where you're at.
Bob from Butternut, for example.
Bob from Butternut or Victor in Vienna, because you can listen all over the world. But let us know your name, where you're listening from, and what station you're listening, or if you're listening on the app. But yeah, do that through the app and let us know how you're finding your joy. And we may listen to it after 10:30.
And play it on the air.
Yeah.
And it can just be a little thing. Yeah. I'm not talking about big things where I won the lottery and this is where I got. No, it's little. I'm talking about little tiny things that make you happy.
And we're also talking about little. Try to keep that note like 10 to 15 seconds.
Yeah, 2 minutes is probably going to be a little too long.
It's very joyous, and we're happy about your joy. Right. But we've got so much time, and we have heartbreaks on this show.
That will be coming up after the 10:30 news, and we'll wrap up the show as we always do with this shouldn't be a thing. Today, it is the Get Off My Lawn edition. There's an incredible visual that goes along with today's Tisbet, so I hope you can stick around for that. Did want to start off, though, with a reminder of the DNR is out with the statements. Again, we are back where we were 2 summers ago.
2 summers, yes.
With wildfire smoke in Canada potentially pushing into our state a little bit later on today, and that's going to make things nasty, especially for people who have respiratory issues.
Yeah.
And if you have asthma and things like that, they are telling you to stay inside as much as humanly possible. If you're going to be exercising, take it easy and just be aware. But they do say that much of Wisconsin will potentially reach the red air quality index, and that is considered unhealthy.
And that's, we were looking at it this morning, that's 4 out of 6.
I was listening on as I was coming in.
After red, you think red would be the highest.
Yes.
It's not. After red comes purple, and after purple comes maroon.
I think we need to talk to those people.
Yeah.
They need to readjust that scale.
I agree. Hey, are you listening, air quality people?
They're going, no.
No, we're not.
But anyway, yeah, they have out of control wildfires that has prompted a state of emergency in Manitoba, Canada. Thousands of people have been forced to evacuate. So we certainly send our thoughts to those folks. But again, the DNR asking people who are part of sensitive groups, again, like asthma, make your outdoor activity shorter and less intense. We do expect maybe because it's going to get it's going to warm up today that later on this afternoon, some storms might be popping up. Yeah. And that should hopefully tamp down some of the particulate that's in the air. Wanted to start off talking about Tom Tiffany.
Oh, I was having a good day.
Tom Tiffany, at this point, is still considering whether or not he will run for governor against Tony Evers. And I did a little search on the Google. Tom Tiffany accomplishments. Because I was curious. I don't live in his district.
Yeah.
He's up north, and I don't live up there. So I was just curious as to what Tom Tiffany has accomplished in all of his years in office. And an opinion piece in the Cap Times came up. So maybe this isn't exactly fair. That's never stopped me. Legislature's chief DNR antagonist and rabid supporter of opening new mining ventures in the north, Tom Tiffany.
Yep.
Let's not forget, it was last year that Tom Tiffany wanted to change the designation of the Apostle Islands to a national park.
Yeah, and I remember when that came around, and my knowledge of the national parks is cursory at best. I've only been to a few. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. This sounds amazing. Like, this could be good for tourism. This could be good for maybe federal funding through the wildlife and DNR and all this stuff. Lo and behold, we come to find out not only is it not what we think, but we spoke to folks from up there and they gave us the full business on opinions when it comes to what they think of this trying to happen and what Tom Tiffany is really looking to do with benefiting.
Well, they want to open up the Apostle Islands to mining.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
That is Tom Tiffany's goal. And as you said, when we've talked to folks from up there, they don't know how they could handle another huge influx of tourists in those areas. I've been to Bayfield. I love Bayfield. It's one of my favorite places on the planet. It's tiny.
Yeah.
It's tiny. Mm-hmm. Most of those towns up there are not huge with the ability to accommodate thousands and thousands of people.
Oh, at least thousands and thousands.
Yeah. So Dom Tiffany was on WISN's Up Front.
Oh, boy.
Last Sunday. And if you remember, Governor Evers at one point issued guidelines for state employees to follow should ICE show up.
Yep.
And all he essentially did, in my understanding, was tell them what their legal rights are.
Yeah.
It wasn't go hide people. It wasn't go, you know, it wasn't anything like that. It was essentially here are your rights. If you are in this situation when ICE shows up, and here's what you do.
Sounds pretty basic to me.
Doesn't sound all that controversial to me. But Tom Tiffany on WISN's Up Front had a different take on that. Calvin, can you play that clip, please?
Considering it in the Judiciary Committee, I know the Department of Justice is looking at this very closely because we brought it up with the Attorney General, Pam Bondi, and they are very concerned.
What type of repercussions could the Judiciary Committee or the DOJ, I guess, impose on the governor when it appears that he just advised state employees to call an attorney first?
Well, I would leave that to Tom Holman, the border czar. He has talked about this. I'm not sure what they can do, including the Department of Justice, but it's very clear he was stepping up to the line. Maybe he didn't break the law, but he was stepping up to the line.
Look, when the governor says
this is Danny Baldwin,
there's questions of law that come up, you should consult an attorney. I think that's good advice.
Okay. And Tiffany said it out loud. He didn't cross the line. He didn't break the law. What Governor Evers did by issuing these guidelines to state employees is not a crime.
No. Not at all. And we're not lawyers. We are lawyer adjacent.
We are.
I am confident in your statement, Jane, that he did not break the law that could be held up in a court of law, because it's this ridiculous posturing we're now seeing. I mean, first of all, he's like, he stepped up to the line. Did he cross it? Did he break the law? And then as soon as, you know, he gets on TV and says, they're going to do something about it. Well, what are they going to do? Congressman Tiffany. Oh, don't ask me.
Right.
I don't really know what he did. I don't know what the Justice Department can do.
Right.
So, at the very least, puff your chest, beat your chest, say, we're going after him. What Ron Johnson does when we're talking about 9/11. We're calling for hearings and we're going to investigate every governor who says to do this thing. But it was just a big nothing burger from his part. And that's kind of what Tom Tiffany is a nothing burger. He's not an effective leader. And he is a guy who has made more of a voice in the day of Trump.
Oh,
but
yes.
Like Ron Johnson in his first term, has really been a backbencher. Not really many people know about him. If you say, who is Tom Tiffany in this state, a lot of people aren't going to know him because he hasn't made a lot of headway in Congress.
True.
So this is what this is perfect Tiffany. He's like we should investigate on what? I don't know.
Well, if you live in Tom Tiffany's district, I would love to hear from you because correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that Tom Tiffany was there when they announced the funding to fix the Blotnick Bridge.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, he was.
He was there. He was there all about it. Look what we did. Look at the money that we brought back to help fix the Blotnick Bridge, which connects Superior to Duluth. And you know who brought that money to Wisconsin?
Was it the lady at the end of that clip?
It was that lady.
Senator Tammy Baldwin.
Yeah, Senator Tammy Baldwin is the one who brought that $1 billion to Wisconsin to help fix that bridge.
But Tom Tiffany, of course, in nonpartisan fashion and compromise and working together. He voted for that bill, right?
No.
Oh, he voted against it?
Yes, that was part of the Infrastructure Act, yeah.
My mistake.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he voted against it.
He voted against it.
But he was there to take credit for it.
Oh, they love taking credit.
They do. When the ribbon cuttings happen and all those things and the press is there and something to take credit for.
Yeah.
Isn't that nice?
He probably put it on a mailer.
Could be.
Yeah.
When we return, this just gets better and better. We talked to you yesterday about the MAHA report, Make America Healthy Again, which contains a whole bunch of studies that don't exist. But don't worry, the Trump press secretary has the explanation for it. We'll share that with you on the other side. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
the center, WRCE. Summer. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store and get ready to text in for your first chance to win in this statewide contest starting Monday, June 2nd at 7 a.m. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. We are in a rare moment right now in Wisconsin politics. Why, you ask? Well, it's because we are not actively in the middle of a campaign cycle. It's been more than 6 weeks now since any of us have seen a campaign ad. It's been pretty nice, hasn't it? The moment we're in is as close as we're going to get to a political off-season here in Wisconsin. And we need to take advantage of this moment by taking action to improve our democracy. That means taking steps to address money in politics, cleaning up some issues with election administration, and creating a long-term plan for nonpartisan redistricting. In some cases, we can't make these kinds of changes in the middle of a campaign, so we need to be thinking about what we can do now. There's a lot both parties can agree on here, too. So let's make some moves this offseason, Wisconsin. Seize this moment to make a better, stronger, more inclusive democracy.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, the Trump administration thinks that they're doing a solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to health care, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees. I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
And welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Okay, it is time. Grab your phone. Open it up to the Civic Media app. That little text button. Mm-hmm. Here's what you want to do right now. Text in the word swing, S-W-I-N-G. Text in the word swing via the Civic Media app. You are in the running in our statewide text to win contest for a 4-pack of Brewers tickets for Saturday, June 7th against San Diego. You have until 11 o'clock, so you got some time. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So if you don't have the app yet, you can still get the app and do all the things. But text in the word swing, S-W-I-N-G, via the Civic Media app, and then you are in the running for that 4-pack of tickets to see the Milwaukee Brewers.
Spelling matters.
It does matter because it's not going to register.
Correct.
I'm not quite sure what you could get wrong.
Jane, someone...
Bing.
Someone misspelled run once, so I'm not going to put it past anybody. So
yeah, you got a point there. Swing is the word, S-W-I-N-G. Our statewide text to win contest for a 4-pack of crew tickets. Again, we're playing for, the tickets are for Saturday, June 7th. You cannot exchange them.
Correct.
That's one little important caveat there.
And these tickets are nice.
They're nice. They're club-level tickets. We can attest to the kush.
The cush is so soft.
They're nice, cushy seats. So text in the word.
You feel rich.
Text in the word swing, S-W-I-N-G. Wanted to just share this just a little bit because we did talk about it yesterday. The MAHA report that came out from Bob Jr.'s Department of Health and Human Services on all of the things that we should be doing to protect our health and do good things for our health. The official report that came out yesterday. Mm-hmm. has a whole bunch of studies cited in there.
As it should.
That don't exist.
Darn it.
They do not exist. We have news outlets that have tracked down some of the authors of these studies. And while these scientists might exist, the reports that their names are attached to do not.
And just like that summer reading list we covered last week, this smacks of the same thing, where it is someone fed information into AI and received, and there, and the rumor, I'm only going to say a rumor, but some people are saying, is that this report written by, you know, not a doctor, Robert Kennedy, is mostly AI generated.
Yeah.
It's
this, hence the mistakes.
Make America easy again.
But don't worry.
Don't worry?
No. White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt was asked about this yesterday. Calvin, let's play this this clip from Karoline Leavitt, please, explaining what the problem was with this report from Robert Kennedy Jr., the head of the Department of Health and Human Services.
We have complete confidence in Secretary Kennedy and his team at HHS. I understand there were some formatting issues with the MAHA report that are being addressed, and the report will be updated, but it does not negate the substance of the report, which, as you know, is one of the most transformative health reports that has ever been released by the federal government, and is backed on good science that has never been recognized by the federal government.
Well, it's not recognized because the report, the studies don't exist, Ms. Leavitt, and... Formatting issue?
That is the...
When I think of a formatting issue, I think of things not being all in a straight line. Or an unintended insert in the middle of something.
Too many fonts.
Yes, too many fonts.
Too large.
Those are formatting issues.
Here's the thing is, if you disagree with us, if you think this report was great, but you don't know how to save a file as a PDF, you don't get to say anything because your formatting is also terrible. This is, I mean, I have to imagine, I just imagine Karoline Leavitt goes into her home every night and just takes the face off of her face and just for 20 minutes goes, because, I mean, the Olympic level of lying she is doing is, I mean, it goes
back to why she's making good money.
It goes back to what I said to yesterday to Jim Santel on the show, is at what point do these become violations of a First Amendment? When does this become culpable? When does these words that they are saying actionable as, like, you put out this report, we did these things, now someone is sick, dying, or dead because of what you've done, and you have to pay the judicial penalty.
But it didn't happen during COVID.
No, of course it's. Oh no, Jane.
Right. And look, you know, he said it was going to it's going to disappear like a miracle. It's going to be gone by Easter. It's going to be gone by here. It's going to be gone by
We said June, July, August. We have 3 more months until they discover the cause of autism and they can neutralize it. That's what they said they were going to do as well. I'm being pie in the sky to a person right now. I'm not dumb enough to believe that there actually something's going to happen to these individuals.
Right.
But to me, this is dangerous. So dangerous.
I agree with you. But don't worry again. All this inaccurate information and apparently just invented studies in this big report from Robert Kennedy Jr.'s Health and Human Services, they're just formatting errors.
I just love how you can blame that too.
Right?
Honey, I wasn't cheating on you. There were formatting issues.
Jean from Eau Claire is on the line. Jean, you got about 40 seconds. Take it away.
Okay, the con continues. Remember Foxconn, Scotty Walker, the people that are now in the federal government that help him pull off all the cons on the people in Wisconsin, and Tony Evers, we're building our roads. He's doing all kinds of things for the people. Don't let the con men come in again and take over our state. It's up to us to stop these people. Thank you, guys, and have a great weekend. Oh, and don't forget to turn on James Santel tomorrow at 9 a.m. Bye.
Thanks, Jean. Really appreciate it. Check out Jim tomorrow from 9 to 11. He's fantastic across the network. News is coming up next. And when we're back, we'll talk to Representative Mark Pocan. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's on the hook. It's on the hook. It's on the hook. It's on the hook.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Vernon County Department of Human Services is accepting requests for proposals for the provision of meals for the Senior Nutrition Program in Viroqua, Westby, Lafarge, DeSoto, Hillsboro, and Reedstown. The contract period for the proposals is from January 1, 2026 through December 31, 2026. Sealed proposals must be labeled Senior Nutrition Program Bids and submitted to Jill Bender, Director of Vernon County Department of Human Services, at 318 Fairlane Drive, Suite 100, Viroqua, 54665. Proposals will be accepted until 4:30 Monday afternoon, June 16th. Dane County is seeking public input related to Chapter 71, Regulation of Icebound Inland Waters. This ordinance is intended to promote public safety on the frozen lakes in Dane County. Regardless of ordinance language, the risk of travel on frozen water is held by the traveler. The existing ordinance covers the prohibition of cars and trucks, weight limits and flotation requirements for all-terrain vehicles, regulation of airboats and hoverboats, parking at public facilities and docking at piers, mooring buoys, and rafts. A public informational meeting for individuals that wish to learn more about the ordinance will be held Tuesday, June 17th from 6 to 8 at the Lucier Family Heritage Center in Madison. Representatives from the Dane County Sheriff's Department and the Land and Water Resource Department will be present to provide information and to answer questions. Public comment will be accepted at the public informational meeting, and written comments will also be accepted online through July 15th. For more information, including an online public comment form, visit the project website at wrd.danecounty.gov. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Speaking of privileged cluelessness, actress Jenna Ortega says she was unhappy after her role in Wednesday catapulted her to fame. The rich 22-year-old actress told Harper's Bazaar becoming famous was intense and scary. She also said she was unhappy playing a schoolgirl in the show when she was becoming a young woman in real life, which she feared would not allow people to take her seriously. Such a big fat bummer. I'm sure Starbucks is hiring. Actress Felicity Huffman went on Good Morning America to talk about her new and most likely terrible Lifetime film. While being interviewed, she reacted to the news that Kerry Washington is part of a new Desperate Housewives reboot. She said it was great that they are redoing Wisteria Lane for women of color. This is the same woman who cheated to get her own privileged but not so bright daughter into college, most likely taking a spot away from someone who needed it more, or a person of color. It is good that she at least seems okay with TV people of color getting ahead. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly sunny skies today. You might notice a hint of smoke in the air today. High temperatures in the upper 70s. Just an outside chance of a shower or a thunderstorm late in the afternoon. For tonight, partly cloudy skies. Lows in the mid-50s. Right now, it's 57.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Matt Miller, Milwaukee-based film critic. The film Sinners, the more distance I have from it, the more I liked it. Is that an Oscar film?
I think there is a love for what Sinners is doing, that a studio movie was this interesting and creative and thoughtful, but also entertaining. This is not the last you will hear about Sinners this year. I'd be shocked if it doesn't get a Best Picture nomination.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, the Trump administration thinks that they're doing a solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to health care, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees. I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Donald Trump hands out pardons to donors and friends and those that support him. But isn't there supposed to be a process? We discuss with former U.S. Attorney James Santel next.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Calby on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Delighted to be joined by Representative Mark Pocan, taking some time out for us this morning. Good morning, Representative. Thank you so much for being here. How you doing?
Hey, good morning. Thanks so much for having me. I am doing really well. I've been home all week, which is a bonus.
Yeah, no kidding. We're going to get to town halls probably towards the end of our conversation, because I'm just curious if you're going to be out hitting the road, since Democrats seem to be willing to talk to people who vote. The other side, not necessarily so much. We did want to start off, though, Representative, with this report that came out from Robert Kennedy Jr.'s Department of Health and Human Services, the MAHA report that came out yesterday, which it has been determined that a number of the studies cited in this report don't exist. Calvin, we still have that clip from White House Press Secretary Carolyn Leavitt explaining why that is. Let's play that clip for Representative Pocan, please.
We have complete confidence in Secretary Kennedy and his team at HHS. I understand there were some formatting issues with the MAHA report that are being addressed, and the report will be updated, but it does not negate the substance of the report, which, as you know, is one of the most transformative health reports that has ever been released by the federal government, is backed on good science that has never been recognized by the federal government.
Well, it's not recognized because those reports don't exist. I find that somewhat problematic. Do you?
Oh, man. We had Secretary Kennedy in front of my subcommittee a few weeks ago, and, you know, I was trying to be nice, you know, and I asked him, I thought, some friendly, softballish questions that would provide people some reassurance around vaccines, and he took it in a very, very different direction. And, you know, throughout the hearing, listening to him, I mean, I think his idea of science and science's idea of science are maybe a little different. And, you know, I think it's admirable that he wants to take out some of the dyes that are carcinogenic and other things. I think that's the right thing to do, and I give him credit. And I told him that in the beginning of the questioning. But then, you know, he takes it sometimes a step, or maybe, you know, a few running jaunts too far, and then goes into this junk science and stuff that, you know, really isn't verified. So, you know, the problem is, now I've been back home, I'm talking to all kinds of people who work for the university, researchers and others, people who work with medical devices in the area, and everyone's just afraid because science is no longer respected in this administration, and it's really difficult for them to move forward with things like this report yesterday.
Well, and Representative Pocan, we actually have a clip of that, a brief portion of that clip. Calvin, can you play that? And I want to say something after that, but this is you speaking to Health and Human Service Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Just because I think this is a helpful answer, and this isn't a gotcha, I promise. If you had a child today, would you vaccinate that child for measles?
For measles? Probably for measles. You know, what I would say is my opinions about vaccines are irrelevant. I have directed Jay Bhattacharya.
Sure. No, like I said, I don't want to.
So that everybody can make that decision. But I don't want to seem like I'm being evasive.
Yeah.
But I don't think people should be taking advice, medical advice,
right,
from me.
Right. No, I got that. And I'm not asking you to give the medical advice, but would you vaccinate your child for measles?
I think if I answer that question directly, that it will seem like I'm giving advice to other people, and I don't want to be doing that. I want people to make
But that's kind of your jurisdiction, because CDC does give advice, right? I'm not trying to do it as a gotcha. It's just kind of...
It's your job!
Yeah. And I want to make something really clear. I pulled that section from a longer conversation. There's no editing. It's exactly how. But the thing is before and after, you comport yourself with the notion of, I'm not trying to trick you up. I'm not trying
to. Yeah, I wasn't trying to either. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You know?
And yet he just, and we're seeing this with all sorts. I mean, whether it's Kristi Noem, all sorts of individuals who just will never answer the questions that are real simple, too.
Yeah. No, and it's secretary after secretary. I asked, you know, the Secretary of Education some really simple questions as well about their agency, about the people they fired, and she didn't have answers. You know, people, even the Secretary of Treasury, who's not a dumb person, Secretary Bessent, but plays a dumb person on TV for Donald Trump, who couldn't answer a simple question about who pays tariffs, right? And, you know, I got a lot of ahs, and then finally it's a complicated question. And, you know, at the end of the day, we all as consumers pay tariffs, you know, because whoever's importing it is paying it, but they pass it on to us.
Right.
Consumers. But, you know, none of these people were selected for expertise. Remember that. The first time he did select people who at least were experts in areas, this time around, he selected people based on their Fox News video footage. Mm. You submitted your video footage to him and your loyalty to him.
Yep.
So, you know, of course, that is great for authoritarians because that means, you know, no one's going to question decisions you make. But it's a very, very different way of dealing with, you know, the executive branch right now.
Well, and it's certainly previous people who have held cabinet positions are not necessarily experts on everything, but they have some experience with the issues that the agency that they're heading up are dealing with. And that is not the case this time around. And in the lead up to the November election, we talked about Project 2025, which stated very, very explicitly the whole goal of a second Trump administration was to surround him with people who answered to him and only him. That was their, that is their qualification, correct?
Yeah. I mean, this is not about any past presidency, Democrat or Republican that we've had that I guess I would say is normal. This is about consolidating power to one person, not even one branch of government, to one person, Donald Trump. And unfortunately, Congress, a co-equal branch of government, is also acquiescing, ignoring Article 1 of the Constitution that gives us the power of the purse and other powers, including tariffs. And because of that, Donald Trump has the power of a king, he thinks, even though the rule of law disagrees with him. And that good news is, by the way, I do want to say this because this is positive. The rule of law largely is upheld. He's had over 100 adjudications against him, and he caves every time. He is the caver in chief. So, you know, he may try to do another lawsuit, but he, where we're winning on a regular basis, including by Trump appointed judges, is in the courts.
Yes. Well, and that's why he was freaking out on social media yesterday about the Supreme Court, the international court that ruled against his tariffs. And of course, to Donald Trump and all of his supporters, anyone who rules against him is an activist judge. They're an now everybody is an activist judge if they don't agree with Donald Trump.
And they even try to sneak some language in about the courts and their big, beautiful bill for billionaires. And by doing that, I don't think that language, first of all, will hold through the Senate rules, much less senators go along with it. But there was an interesting exchange with a member from Nebraska who was asked about it. And he told in a town hall, he said, well, I didn't know that was in the bill. And you should have saw the response he got. Well, that's the problem. When you write bills all night and you vote on them just as the sun is starting to come up, maybe you got some problems in there. And in fact, one problem, if I can, I know this is a quick aside, but there's a $500 billion cut to Medicare in the bill the House passed because it gets triggered by the sequestration rules for PAYGO. And they could have fixed it, and they didn't because they didn't want to, like, they just wanted to get this thing done. So every Republican, Derek Van Orden, Brian Stile, all the rest from Wisconsin voted to cut $500 billion from our Medicare that we've paid into all our lives.
On that note, and this was speaking of a side note, here's another side note. Joni Ernst from Iowa at a town hall was asked about Medicaid and SNAP cuts. Some people in the crowd said people are going to die because of this. And her response was, well, we are all going to die.
Yes. It's a new strategy.
I have not heard in the past.
But I did see that clip and I was astonished by it. Which is probably why, you know, Derek Van Orden's locked in the basement this week and not allowed to go out.
Oh, man. Because,
you know, people like him don't maybe have the cognitive ability to pivot on a question like that, and he might have had a similar answer, and that's why they're told don't have town halls.
Well, and Derek Van Orden has been adamant that there will be no cuts from SNAP. There will be no cuts from Medicaid. Democrats are lying to the American people, according to Derek Van Orden.
You know, we're not lying. It's the Congressional Budget Office, which, by the way, everyone on there has been appointed by Republicans, is the one who's giving us these numbers. Yeah. And so, you know, they can say what they want to, but 14 million people will lose health care. 11 million people will lose food assistance. Millions of people will pay more for health insurance because there's a provision, and we don't have the numbers on this, where they take away some of the subsidies for the Affordable Care Act, $300 billion worth. There was an example of a couple 60 years old making $85,000 in my district that their insurance would go up 227%, up a $16,000 increase under the provision that's in the House passed bill.
That seems unachievable.
Yes, and that's the problem, right? So much of the House bill is ridiculously over the top bad, and the Senate's original bill they're working on had 2% of the cuts of the House. Now we'll see what happens. Now, then again, we can't forget our Senator Ron Johnson,
yes,
who doesn't have a problem with the severity of the cuts. He has the problem with the leniency of the cuts, and he wants deeper cuts, yep, than the House passed. So a half a trillion cut in Medicare, you know, $1 trillion between Medicaid and ACA cuts isn't enough for Ron Johnson.
If you're just joining us, U.S. Representative Mark Pocan is our guest representing the 2nd Congressional District here in Wisconsin. We're talking about the budget bill. You did say something that I wanted to just take a moment to highlight. Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, said this week that everyone on the congressional budget, the CBO, is a Democrat. He said that this week, that every single person on the CBO is a Democrat, and therefore those numbers can't be trusted.
Yeah, they're all appointed. Everyone who's the head of the CBO has been appointed by Republicans. We haven't had a Democratic appointment in 10 years. So, you know, he can say, they can lie all they want to, but, you know, I have faith in the American people, and they're going to believe. To me, the single best way of proving our point isn't the he said, she said, arguing the numbers. If you were really proud of this, you would get on the rooftop with a megaphone and mm-hmm. brag about it. You go across your district and have town halls to let them know what you're doing for them. But when we get a chance to talk about the tax provisions, wait till I share some stuff there about this bill. I mean, this is a bill that only Elon Musk and Donald Trump could love, and that's why they're hiding in their basement. So hopefully Derek will be able to come out on Monday when he's got to fly back to Washington. But, you know, there's a good reason they're hiding.
Well, and that's why they're talking about it and voting at it at midnight and 2 o'clock in the morning. And they always say things like, do your research. Well, yeah, but you're on television doing this work. We know when, like, you could do it on a Tuesday at 12 noon. We'll still see what's happening. We're not seeing this happen. And you're right. You want to be able to take something back to your constituents in your district and say, look what we're doing for you. But they're not, because they know these constituents are mad.
Yeah, we've passed 6 bills this Congress, 6, through the House, Senate, and signed into law. This is their holy grail, the tax cut. They've got a bunch of awful cuts, and that's why they're afraid to talk about it. But again, the smell test, the common sense test, is you would be bragging about it if it was good. The fact that you're not tells me everything. I don't need to know. You know, for most people, they can tell who's authentic and not about this.
We're going to continue our conversation with Representative Mark Pocan on the other side. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Medicare loses about $60 billion annually to fraud, errors, and abuse. June 2nd through the 8th is Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, focusing on the actions everyone can take to prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Learn more by liking and following Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol on Facebook. Then visit our website, smpwi.org. For information and advice, remember, Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. We are in a rare moment right now in Wisconsin politics. Why, you ask? Well, it's because we are not actively in the middle of a campaign cycle. It's been more than 6 weeks now since any of us have seen a campaign ad. It's been pretty nice, hasn't it? The moment we're in is as close as we're going to get to a political off-season here in Wisconsin. And we need to take advantage of this moment by taking action to improve our democracy. That means taking steps to address money in politics, cleaning up some issues with election administration, and creating a long-term plan for nonpartisan redistricting. In some cases, we can't make these kinds of changes in the middle of a campaign, so we need to be thinking about what we can do now. There's a lot both parties can agree on here, too. So let's make some moves this offseason, Wisconsin. Seize this moment to make a better, stronger, more inclusive democracy.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though. Because
probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, the Trump administration thinks that they're doing a solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to health care, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees. I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text, or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our statewide text to win free ticket Friday is underway. Grab your phone, open up the Civic Media app, and text in the word swing, S-W-I-N-G. You have until 11 o'clock. Do that, and you are in the running for a four-pack of Milwaukee Brewers tickets for Saturday, June 7th, when the crew host San Diego. The word until 11 a.m. is swing. So text it in right now, and good luck. Joining us is Congressman, since representative is apparently too hard of a word for me. Congressman Mark Pocan is here, and we're talking about the budget and many other things going on in Washington. You had mentioned before the break, Congressman, that every Wisconsin Republican is all about this. Representative Brian Stiles says the House budget bill is unquestionably a step in the right direction.
Yeah, tell that to the 1.3 million people on Medicaid in Wisconsin that are going to maybe see their Medicaid taken away. The one out of three kids in the state that gets their health insurance from Medicaid, 55% of seniors in nursing homes get their support from Medicaid. 45% of adults with disabilities living independently get their support from Medicaid. So, you know, if he thinks it's so good, I got the feeling there's a lot of people who may not agree with him right in southeastern Wisconsin.
Well, and we spoke to a gentleman who is on Medicaid who has some physical challenges. He mm-hmm. is working, yeah. and he talked mm-hmm. about what a long process it is, and they get checked up on with consistency. It's not like there's no oversight over people who are receiving Medicaid.
Yeah.
Two-thirds of the people are working poor. Who are getting Medicaid. So they're already working, right? So this whole work requirement really is more of a paperwork requirement to make fewer people get their coverage. Arkansas did some of these changes.
Yes.
And when they did, it was found 70% of the people that lost their coverage were eligible, but simply couldn't go through all the compliance hoops that it would take to do it. So, you know, that's Medicaid. Food assistance, not only did they severely cut it and hurt Wisconsin. You know, Derek Van Orden made some stupid comment about he fixed something on it. Well, the fix was like how you fix a dog, because it's not working anymore with what they did. We're going to be now on hooks. Administrative costs, 75% of them, not 50-50 split, but also minimum 5% of the cost of the food share program, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program in Wisconsin is food share. But because we have one of the lowest error rates in the country, but because of whatever fix Derek did, we're probably now going to be online for 15% of the cost. So it's somewhere between 130 and 300 million a year additional cost to Wisconsin to pick this up. And if we don't, that means people, even more people, will lose their food share. But one last thing about this, just it's so horrible about how they did this. Now up to 56 years old, you know, after 56, you don't have to as regularly prove, you know, what you're doing to continue getting food assistance. They raised that to 64 because those spry 63 and 64 year olds, you know, but it used to be if you had a single parent and had a kids up to, you know, at 18, up to 18, you didn't have to do the compliance as often.
Now
up to eight.
Yep.
At 8 years old, when you're old enough to work at a mine, I guess, you now have to prove that you still need food assistance.
Well, and that brings up two things that this discussion brings up. One, if the money is going to be left to the state, good luck. Madison, that state house doesn't like to fund anything, period. You're on your own. But also this whole thing of the working poor and the way that some congressmen and senators and just people who want this bill to go through frame it as able-bodied workers, which we don't talk about that, which is people who work a job whose job doesn't provide insurance, doesn't provide enough insurance, or their job says, hey, go on your state's insurance because that's better. This is not people gaming the system. This is not fraud or abuse. This is about people who are not getting paid enough and people who don't have good health insurance. So whenever they say able body, I say, oh, so you're talking about a terrible workplace for them. But they're still doing it because they have to make money.
Yeah. And the tax provisions, the few tax provisions that help tipped employees or on overtime pay, et cetera, all of that adds up to 5% of the bill. The vast, vast majority goes to the very wealthiest in this country. So, you know, this is a Elon Musk, Donald Trump, dream, and the rest of us get to pay for it.
It's literally scraps on the table. Like, here are your scraps. Yeah. Well, we get the fancy dinner. You can have the leftovers, maybe.
Congressman Mark Pocan is our guest. We have just a couple of minutes left. Are you planning on going out on the road again, having a couple more town halls in some redder districts?
Yes. Well, I did one in my district in Dodgeville this week, but tomorrow at 10 a.m. in Eau Claire at the Pablo Center, Derek and I have been invited by Opportunity Wisconsin. So I'm really looking forward to debating Derek on this bill. My guess is it's more likely I will sprout a head full of hair than he will show up at this thing tomorrow. But if he shows up, I'm really looking forward to it. If not, at least people in Eau Claire can be heard. They can see why Derek is hiding in the basement. Probably next to the bar, and we'll figure it all out from there. But this is important to let people know what's in this bill, because there is a very good reason why Republicans are hiding from town halls.
And people are showing up at these town halls that you're hosting that are not just Democrats, correct?
Oh, absolutely. You know, everyone's invited, everyone. And, I'm glad to talk to anyone about the merits of this, because this is a meritless bill. I mean, this is an awful bill on so many fronts. I mean, we didn't even mention the $330 billion cut to higher education, largely Pell Grants, including people who work and have Pell Grants. It used to be you could have 12 credits and work and still get a Pell Grant. Now they're going to be taken up to 15, and that's going to hurt many local employers that we're already hearing from, too. So it's full of bad ideas.
Congressman Mark Pocan from Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District, thank you so very, very much. Always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you.
As always, have a great weekend.
News is coming up next, and then Dan Schaefer will be here from the Recombobulation area. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
Hey, ABC News, I'm Shiri Preston. President Trump plans to hold a Pennsylvania rally later tonight to celebrate a deal between Japan-based Nippon Steel and U.S. Steel, but no details have been released. Two courts weighing in on the president's tariffs, the Court of International Trade blocking most of them, then a federal appeals court putting that ruling on hold. ABC's Stephen Portnoy's in Washington.
The president has tried to accomplish a number of objectives here with these tariffs. He's hoped to rebalance trade in America's favor. He's hoped to exact concessions from foreign nations on a variety of issues, including fentanyl trafficking, immigration. He's sought to boost domestic manufacturing, and he's sought to raise revenue for the Treasury.
The trade court, however, said doing that under an Emergency Powers Act is presidential overreach. Americans making more money last month, but spending less, the Commerce Department says. A flood in a Nigerian town kills 111 people. Former NYPD Commissioner Bernard Carrick has died. He was 69. This is...